So the last 2 mornings, the Lord has awakened me very early to pray. And yesterday morning, he woke me up at 3:33. I usually do get up early, but this is a little bit earlier than I normally get up. And it just reminded me of when Mom prayed over us all to be the cupbearers and be the watchmen. Well, we're putting that into action now. But he awakened me, and as I went to prayer, he began to speak to me about several things for the rest of this year, for next year, and into the following year. Usually the Lord will speak to me for the next year around September. So this is a little bit early. It's not often that he'll speak to me for a following year, but I felt this, the importance behind what he said. And this is why he released it. So as I went to prayer, I kept thinking about that 333, 333. And so I went to the Word, and I began to look through the Word of God. You know, three is, it's a kairos moment. It signifies something critical. It's a moment of, it's that moment that we have to align ourselves with Him. It's that critical moment, that fork in the road moment, that moment that's marked in history, that moment that changes everything. On the third day, God created the seed that would sustain mankind as well as the beasts of the field. It's on the third day after their travels that Abraham and Isaac climbed the mountain on which Abraham would lay his heir on the altar. Remember, this is the one through whom the seed would come forth. It's on the third day that the Israelites found themselves at the mouth of the Red Sea, about to enter their new position in the earth as a nation, on whose God, a nation whose God wrests them from the hands of the most powerful nation in the known world. This nation would have a new government, the Torah, based on godly principles. And it's on the third day that Jesus rose, overcoming sin and death, the covenant seed rose, overcoming sin and death for us to enter into covenant with Him and finally and truly be reunited with our Creator. Usually when the Israelites were set apart for time with God, they were to set themselves apart, and then on the third day, they would come together to hear from God. So there's tremendous significance . So as I prayed over this, I considered the moments in history, and like I said, that we have to take hold of what God is saying, regardless of how things look on the outside. And I sat before Him, and He told me, and I said, Lord, what are these three things? Because this is a kairos moment, and I can feel it. What are you about to deal with? What pivotal moments What kairos moments are we about to face? What issues, Lord God, are we about to deal with? And he said he would be dealing with the church, he would be dealing with the government, and he would be dealing with the financial system. Over the course of the last year or two, the Lord's been speaking to me a lot about the church, and I've shared this with you. And if you haven't been on those calls, then I'm just going to summarize that. There was a dream and then two visions. It was a typical church house. And in one of them, a hand came down and ripped the roof right off the church. And it severed and it broke the church in half. The Lord called out, "Ecclesia, arise!" And about half of the people came up and out. And those who remained sat speechless in the rubble. In the second, there was a great shaking in the church. The ecclesia came forth, and each member, having the world shaken from their very bones. I saw compromise and sin fall from them as they were lifted up out of the world and into God. In the third, I saw the ecclesia literally entering in and passing through Christ. And they finally became the pillar and the support of truth that Paul speaks of in the book of Timothy. There was tremendous unity in the body, and it had truly become a house of prayer. It was a new, refined church. This is what we saw in the book of Acts, and this is what Paul taught through his many writings in the New Testament. Like I said, the second issue is government. Now, this vision that I'm going to share, and I'm going to share several visions, and I do have these typed up, and I'm going to put them on our website. And I know there's a lot of note takers on the line, and a lot of people ask for notes, so I have them typed up. I will get these up and on our website. Some of these are there, though. So one of them, it's a while ago, it was in December, and it's, I call it Nancy and the Scotch Tape. It was in our Hanukkah GOE, and I was praying over the government. I had a vision of the nation. It was covered in plaster Paris representing the facade fabricated by the Democrats. The facade is made up of every narrative we hear coming from the left. The plaster had become severely cracked from the intercession, and the pieces were lifting up and beginning to spread apart. Some pieces were falling into the ocean. Pelosi had blood red stilettos on, and she was digging her heels into the plaster to keep it in place. But it kept spreading. As it started to lift, I saw roots of communism attached to the bottom, but they began to die, and so they were no longer capable of keeping this facade anchored to the nation. Nancy began to panic. She went down to her hands and knees and tried to smooth the surface with additional plaster, but again, she was unsuccessful. Next, she pulled out a roll of Scotch tape and unrolled great strands of tape, attempting to secure the pieces together, but they kept spreading. The roots of communism were dying, and nothing could hold them down. Now, what was so interesting about this is she was becoming more and more frazzled in this, and I see this taking place before our very eyes. On news conferences and such, I see this frazzled person because her narrative is falling apart. Nancy did not enter politics the corrupt individual she is today. She entered with a desire to change D.C. and the very things that she's heatedly involved with, she planned to change. I watched an interview of her from many decades ago. She didn't enter there. The line of Judah came and breathed across the land, and all of the debris blew off the nation and into the sea, including Nancy. Now, I want to tell you, at this time, the Lord told me to look up 3M because I thought, why Scotch tape? He told me to look up who made Scotch tape, and so I did, and I found it was 3M. So Nancy and her husband have a great deal of stock in 3M, and what's so significant about that is that they transferred a bunch of their portfolio over to 3M just before the pandemic. And they make all of the personal protective gear that people are wearing everywhere, the masks, the gloves, the things that are used in hospitals all over the world. That's what 3M makes. So I thought that was interesting. The House of Cards vision I shared last week, and I saw a House of Cards on a table, and the Lord came, he pulled one card, he bent down, he blew, and the whole thing came crashing down. He quickly picked up the cards, scattered them to the ground, and he began to reshape the nation that was on the table. It was very mangled, but he began to reshape it. And on Monday, that's when President Trump's house was raided. So I believe that this process has started. It takes exposure. It takes them exposing themselves for the people to get behind the transformation that must come. People say, well, we're praying. Why does this keep happening? We're praying. Why do we keep seeing this? We're praying. Why? Because if people don't see the severity of our condition, they will not get behind the change that God needs to do in a nation. They won't pray into it, and they won't be a part of it, because people don't like change. We don't like to admit that. We want to be bold and courageous, and they want to say, oh, I love change. Change is good. Change is powerful. People don't like change. We like to be in our comfort zone. So God is allowing us to be very uncomfortable so he can affect true and lasting change in our nation. The last one about the government is the dream that I had about DeSantis. John has been giving us wonderful praise reports of what Governor DeSantis is doing in Florida. In January, the Lord gave me a dream, and it was a very short dream. It was really interesting. And I in the dream, I saw DeSantis, and he was creating this shift in the nation, and he was unleashing policy after policy after policy, and it was all righteous policy. That's what he was doing. And we see this. I mean, he's done everything from the educational system to the medical system to not bowing the knee to corporate America to refusing to allow the media to label him and bow the knee to their fear tactics and intimidation tactics. He has fought for the unborn, and he has fought for the elderly with his recent piece of legislation so that no one has to die alone, no matter what is going on, no matter what state of emergency we're in. No one has to die in the hospital alone. Thousands died during COVID alone because of the pandemic. It was so grievous. And he has stopped that in his own state. So in the dream, I saw him passing unprecedented and righteous legislation. And I saw he was in the focus of the camera lens, because it was as though I had a camera on him. And the camera lens pulled back the focus from his face, and I saw the person behind him, and it was President Trump. And I knew that the legislation that we see DeSantis pushing right now and implementing in his own state is legislation that President Trump really fought to try to implement in our nation, and some of which he was able to. And the Lord said to me, he said, watch DeSantis, and you will see what I'm doing with my nation. What DeSantis is doing in Florida is being done within the hearts of the people of our nation. That is the beauty of the things that he is implementing. This is something that's being stirred in the hearts of the people, and it's very important. So that's why, another reason why John keeps giving us the praise reports of DeSantis because these are things we're going to see ripple across our nation. And we're seeing it actually with Youngkin in Virginia, which is also another very powerful praise report because he is turning the world upside down in Virginia. And a lot of the people that work in D.C., their kids go to school in Virginia. And he's not requiring masks. He's removed critical race theory. I mean, it's got to be a nightmare for them. Anyway, so the third issue, he said, is the financial system. And so in March and April, I had several dreams about the economy, and I released those dreams. They are on our website. The Lord showed me the food situation, how they were hiding food and preventing it from being shipped out. It was being heavily guarded, and we are praying about that. He showed me about the planned inflation and the economic devastation. Each time he's called for intercession to see God move, every time he's released this, we've called for intercession to see God move. And so we will keep praying into that. It's very important that we pray into that because today the Lord woke me up with a loud bang, quite literally. I woke up again. It was 3:30. I woke up and I heard a loud crash that came in a loud bang in my house. And now I will tell you, the Lord has awakened me like that before. He's awakened me with alarms and bangs. And so I don't necessarily go searching out the cause of it because I just figure the Lord awakened me to pray. And I'm like, a nice tap on the shoulder would be good. I'm good with that. I'll wake up, I promise. So I got up, went to get my coffee, and let my dog out. Today was different because a picture that had been purchased for me from the world market was laying flat on the floor. And it is a large picture. It's about 3 by 5 feet, and it has a wooden frame, and I have wood floors. It missed a table, it missed my couch, and it fell bang right on the floor. And I thought, okay, that's really strange. I picked it up, I put it away. I got my things, I came in, and as soon as I went to prayer, the Lord said, the picture that was purchased for you from the world market just fell. Now, I will say it didn't break, which is also important. I said, Lord, are you telling me that the world market is going to crash? And he said, yes. But it will not be broken. The elite plan to crash the economy, but the Lord is going to use this to bring down the one world market or the one world banking system that they are working feverishly to implement. And that, to me, is a tremendous praise. So in each experience that I had, there was a catalyst that brought forth. Is someone wanting to interrupt?
May I interrupt for just a second before you leave this tree?
Yes, I was going to bring that in at the end, but I would prefer you to share it.
Okay, I'll be quiet and let you do it.
No, because I feel like it's really important for you to share what you saw.
Okay. It's an amazing thing. I asked her to send me a photograph of that picture. So she took a picture of it and sent it to me. And lo and behold, this picture of this tree is identical to the tree that the Lord showed me several months ago, earlier this year. We were praying for human trafficking. And the tree that I was given looked just like the tree on her picture. And each leaf had the face of a child that was being trafficked. As the leaves began to change colors into autumn colors, and all of the colors were different, incidentally, but as they began to change colors into the autumn colors, with this each one having its own individual face of a child on it, it would eventually fall off the tree. And this kept happening again and again. Finally, I said, Lord, what are you trying to show me? Because I was feeling so sad. And he said, each one of these faces represents a child who has been trafficked and who has now died because they were not rescued. Oh, and then I just burst. I felt devastated. And so I think it's very interesting that many months later, she is seeing a tree in a picture identical to the one that I saw in the vision. The shape of the leaves, the way the tree looked, the amount of the leaves that were on the tree, it was the identical tree. And those leaves falling off, each one with its own child face on it. They were dying, my brothers and sisters, while we were praying against human trafficking. These leaves were falling off because these children had been so abused, they simply couldn't take the abuse anymore, and they died while we were praying. So I told her, I said, every time you see that tree on your wall and the leaves have no children's faces on it, let it be a memorial to you that God is going to answer the prayers and the children are going to be saved. And that's it.
Thank you. Now, one thing that I will add to what she just shared is in terms of the elite, the blood of children and the bondage of their parents, that's where their wealth comes from. If you take an elephant, what do I mean by that? We're not in bondage. No, we are in bondage to the elite. That's why God wants to wrest America from the hands of the elite. If you take an elephant and you put a chain around it and strike a stake into the ground, that elephant is going to rip it out. But if you take it as a baby, as a very young baby elephant, as a calf, and you put that chain around it, and you put that stake in the ground, and you keep it there, there will come a point it stops fighting. It succumbs to the bondage. And you can tie a rope around that elephant's foot and hand it to a four-year-old. And that elephant will not move, because it has succumbed to the bondage. We are in bondage to those that are trying to bring us into the one world government, the one world religion, and the one world financial structure. And God is about to set us free. So all of the discomfort that I've been talking about is meant to stir us up to the point where we fight the restraint. How do we do that as intercessors? Through prayer. And the church needs to do this through their votes. The church needs to do this by bringing awareness and so on. But the Lord has allowed this to take place. Everything that we're seeing right now, because he wants us to fight the restraint. So everything that I talked about, now the Lord told me this year, 2022, was the year of the catalyst. And everything that I've talked about, there's been a catalyst. that'll bring forth the revolution. And that's what he told me. There's a catalyst that brings forth a revolution in the hearts of men. And it takes a revolution to extract the cabal from a nation. It happened in 1776 when the weight of the tyrannical boot on the necks of those in the new land became too heavy, and they drafted the Declaration of Independence to break free. The Revolutionary War lasted several years, but with only 30% of the nation really wanting to step into war with Britain. But that's all that God needed to set the rest free. And they all benefited from that. And I was talking to John earlier today, and he said that he thinks it's only about 5% that actually engaged in battle. So the Lord provokes revolution in the heart of his people. And this year, last year, have been that catalyst to provoke a desire for the revolution. He's provoking this. Reformation provokes revolution. That's how God works. He brings forth reformation. It stirs, it stirs, it stirs until the revolution gets launched forward. So revolution moves upon men, and it's a supernatural occurrence that moves us into God's path. What do? We seek and we do the will of the Lord. We finally separate from the patterns of the world. We truly embrace and engage in fulfilling the destiny set before us as a nation. In this nation, when they came over here on the Mayflower, there was a Mayflower compact that was done. And when they landed here, and they were in 66 days in a ship built for cargo. Most of the adults couldn't stand because the cargo hold where they were was too short. There were children there. They had stowaways such as rats and roaches. There were no proper sanitation facilities. It was a miserable 66 days. But they stayed in the Word and in prayer every day. And when they landed here, they covenanted with God to have a nation, to gather together as a new government and have a nation based on biblical principles. A city set on a hill that could not be hidden. The light of the world. A revolution binds us together in a spirit of unity and a bond of peace. And finally, it will reinstate this nation as a nation under God based on biblical principles. Do you know that our Declaration and our Constitution, that they have several direct quotes and several inferences from Scripture? That when Congress first started, they had a preacher come in and pray before every Congress session. Why? Because they wanted it to be led in the spirit of unity and the bond of peace. And when they had tried to do it without bringing a pastor in to pray, chaos ensued. They knew the power of prayer. So when we look at the nation of Israel and we look at what happened for them, Reformation came as they cried out to God for deliverance. Revolution began when Moses returned from his time in the desert. At Mount Sinai, a covenant was made between God and the nation of Israel that they would be a nation that would be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a nation of light, leading men to God. As believers were grafted into that covenant, were grafted into the lineage that came through them through Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 adds that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. This was powerful. This right here, every believer should strive to live according to our title. When they were at the Red Sea the third day, When they were at the Red Sea in Exodus 14, they were told to stand. That means wait expectantly and see the salvation of the Lord, even as the enemy with their chariots of blaze were racing toward them. God parted the sea, and they walked across the newly hardened underbelly of the Red Sea to pass through death and into freedom. When the last Israelite passed through, the passage began to soften, and the angel of the Lord flew through the midst of the Egyptians and drove those chariot wheels into the depths of the murky sea floor, leaving the drivers stuck as the walls of the Red Sea crashed down upon them. If they had not walked through the Red Sea, they would have been taken back to Egypt in bondage. They had to embrace the change and the revolution that God was bringing them. We, just like they were, are fighting the world superpower. Egypt was the world superpower. The elite, that's the world superpower. Their currency is blood, and our fight is to set our nation free from their grip. And once we do, we can help set other nations free. If you heard my vision of the flag, the eagle, and the weights, you know those five things that must be brought down. But when they are, and that's on our website, you can just type in eagle, flag, weights, and it'll in the search engine, and it'll come up. That right there, when those things come down, the Lord showed me that we will, as that eagle soars, free from the bondage of those weights, our nation will help break communism off of other nations. We are fighting for the destiny of our nation and the nations around the world. You think, well, I'm just an intercessor. No, you are an intercessor. You get to be an intercessor. You get to be a part of birthing a revolution that will set the captives free, that will set those children free, a revolution that overturned Roe versus Wade. The intercessor is a powerhouse in the kingdom of God, and the enemy shakes and quakes in our presence, and he does everything he can to oppress us so that we don't engage. But when we overcome that, I'm telling you, he shakes and quakes because the intercessor gets a hold of the Lord in the battles that need to be fought and won in the earth. So, what does that mean? As I said, he concluded that time. He said 2023 is a year of revolution. Now, if you're saying, does that mean, you know, we better get our bayonets dusted off? And no, that's not what I'm saying. The wars today are fought and won much differently. The war that God has called us to is done in the Spirit. It's done in prayer, in diligent, faithful intercession and war. And then he added, 2024, my glory's going to pour. 2023 is the year of revolution. And in 2024, my glory's going to pour. He's never spoken to me this early in the year, and he's never spoken to me 2 years out. It's truly a Kairos moment, and we must embrace it and prepare ourselves to finish this race. When Moses arrived in Egypt, it was a year of battle between Moses and Pharaoh before he finally allowed the Israelites to go. Sounds like our battle between the people and the government, doesn't it? This was, in part, to deal with every major idol worship by the Egyptians, many of which the Israelites themselves had embraced and fallen into. Kind of sounds like our church, doesn't it? This was a deep revelation to the Israelites of how entrenched they'd become with the tyrannical nation that kept them in bondage. It was a vicious economy that they lived under, further demonstrating how desperately God needed to uproot them from that system, sounds like our financial system today, the very things that the Lord said he's about to deal with, the church, the government, and the economy. The Red Sea moment was indeed an unprecedented moment. It was a Kairos moment, and it represented freedom from the bondages of Egypt, complete freedom after centuries. The naysayers and critics of what God spoke through Moses and Aaron were in fact proven wrong in their resistance, as they too benefited from this moment of passing through the walls of water and into the promises of God. Even so, their hearts were surely rent with a fear of God, just as the sea before them was. Every step was an act of faith in the fulfillment of the covenant with their father Abraham. And just as the Israelites experienced in their year enduring the 10 plagues of Egypt, the season of revelation only served to awaken. This season has only served to awaken us even more to our need for deliverance from the oppression. God has sent his prophets to nurse this awakening into a vigorous life that will seek to live out our lives from his perspective rather than our own. And this is one of the things, one of the primary things he's trying to teach us in this hour. Stop living from man's perspective and start living from my perspective. The church was told 2 decades ago that the church age had ended. And we're still living in the church age. He said the kingdom age had begun. Why aren't we living for kingdom purposes? Because we like to be comfortable, even if it means being in bondage. It's time to enter the revolution. Once we get this cabal broken off our lives, our children's lives, the victims of human trafficking, the unborn, it'll be like passing through the walls of the Red Sea in awesome wonder and reverential fear to enter the place where God can reset and reorder our nation, and she will fulfill her destiny in God. This season is to have a tremendous impact in our lives. Let us unravel ourselves from the tyrannical system and enter into the revolution that God is stirring in our land. This is our Kairos moment. Will you embrace the revolution? Will you weep and war with us throughout this time as we prepare us and our nation for 2024, where we're going to see his glory pour? You may be persecuted. You may be reviled. But continue to be merciful. Seek to be pure in heart. Remain meek. Some may even be living martyrs, like we see with President Trump. But in the end, this nation and the citizens of this nation, the church, and many nations around the world are going to experience a revolution and finally be set free. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the hope of the future to come. Thank you for giving us the courage we need. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for re-engaging us in the fight. Thank you for helping us to understand our calling, our commission, our destiny. Help us to see the beauty of a destiny lived in the prayer closet and how it affects true change in the earth. Charles Finney used to send 2 intercessors in for weeks before he would come in to do revival services. And those intercessors would weep and they would wail. Sometimes going into the woods and sounding like a boar that was dying in the middle of the woods. Because the groans of their repentance, the groans of their intercession were so deep, it echoed in the woods. But when Finney came, the anointing fell, and the people fell on their faces before you, O God. The intercessors birthed revival after revival after revival. The Welsh revival was birthed by those two little sisters, those little widows, who spent hours and hours a day weeping before your throne on behalf of the church and their town. And that revival traveled far and wide. Even Azusa Street, O God, was birthed through the intercessors who did not consider their own discomfort, but who embraced what you, O God, were wanting to birth in the earth and press through until your glory fell. Help us, O God, to embrace our destiny. Help us to see, O God, things from your perspective and to step and to walk into your history, your Kairos moment, in your precious and most holy name. Amen.